Welcome to another edition of the Ramps on the Moon audio diaries, and we're here today with Eastern Angles. So I'm just going to ask Jess and Jake to introduce themselves, their full names and their roles at Eastern Angles, and maybe a little bit, please, about Eastern Angles and who you are and what you do would be great.
Hello, I'm Jake Smith. I'm the Artistic Director and CEO of Eastern Angles. Eastern Angles are a touring theatre company based in Ipswich, and we cover the east of England. So we tour to Norfolk, Suffolk, Cambridge and Essex. We've been going for over 40 years. I think we're now 43rd year now. And we often commission and create work with a real focus on heritage, history and the daily lives of people in East Anglia. And in the last 2.5 years, we've expanded into an old Victorian school where we run an arts centre in the Westgate of Ipswich.
And I'm Jess Baker. I'm the general manager for Eastern Angles. So I work with Jake and the rest of our team to run the arts centre and tour across the Eastern region.
Thank you very much. And you were kind enough to host a Ramps on the Moon cohort session in that gorgeous, gorgeous Victorian school, which raised an awful lot of memories for lots of us. Well, those of us of a certain age anyway. So you're a Ramps on the Moon cohort partner. You've been part of the cohort since May. We're roughly halfway through. We're 6 sessions in to the cohort year together. Cast your minds back to March, April, May, when you decided that you would like to join the cohort. Can you tell us why you decided to join and what your hopes and aspirations were for what you would be able to get out of and maybe bring to the cohort?
I'm trying to remember how it started. I think it was an email of me sending it to you going, have you seen this from Ramps? So I previously had worked at the New Wolsey Theatre and I was very aware of Ramps and the Moon's work. And Eastern Angles was going through a huge transitional change in terms of leadership and staff and ethos, I would argue, and our values. And we felt that it was an opportunity to marry those two things together. Mm. We've got such a breadth of what we do in terms of touring, as well as being an art centre, as well as being a receiving theatre, that it seemed a opportunity to attack all of those things at once and redefine what EA was within that.
And there'd been a lot of you've driven quite a lot of initiatives here on trying to champion access within the organization, haven't you? And I think that it felt like a really good time to bring myself, who was a new AD and CEO, into that fold. And also hopefully that meant the change could be trickled down amongst other staff members. And we were quite fortunate that we had an influx of new staff, and a lot of those staff shared a real similar want and value of increasing our offer as an organisation. I know when I came here, we'd sort of had difficulty with kit, hearing loops and various things that sort of weren't being resolved. They weren't being fixed. They weren't being acted upon. And I think that when you sent the link through for this program, I'd already seen the year before that we weren't on it, and another couple of organizations I knew were. And then I felt, oh no, we've been left out. And I think it was literally, I'd just missed the window of arriving. So when it came around again, I thought we definitely need to be on this. And we'd seen through other training programs the kind of development that it brings and that ability to sit within the knowledge and the facilitated sessions. It felt really like our heart was in the right place, and then really we wanted to get our head in the right place. Yeah. We wanted to learn from the experts.
I love that. Your heart was in the right place. You wanted to get your head in the right place. And here we are at the beginning of December as we record this audio diary. And looking back on that time and the things that you've said, has that changed at all? Have your hopes for what Eastern Angles will get from the programme changed?
I think it's defined more as we've progressed. I think, like most of the organisations that have come in, you want to change the world because you want to make a better world, but you have to break it down to make it manageable for who you are, for the organisation. And I think as we've progressed on through the different sessions, it's been clear to us that we had to define it down to put the systems in place to enable the people who are coming in to just pick up the system and go, rather than redefine it each time someone came in, because we just don't have the staff to redefine that every time we come in. So it was about clarifying our systems, and then it's ingrained, it's part of the fabric of the building and the staff and the people, that it just flowed back out. So that's what, for me, that's what I've felt over the last few months.
And a kind of like validation in some ways of some of the things, recognizing some of the things we are doing really good and right. And kind of, because you've got so many different members on the cohort, ranging from much bigger organizations to us, there's actually been a really lovely dynamic there of understanding that actually at the small scale, you can be quite responsive. We can change things quite quickly where other organizations find it a lot difficult to change things. Also, it was getting our board really invested in this as well, and them understanding the journey. I think it's been, for me, really important that it plays into the sort of mission and artistic vision of the company. And when we came here, I was really keen to sort of create stories that had a broad world view and really kind of represented the people of East Anglia today. Like, I have a little quote behind me on our board, which accessibility in the work equals audience. And it's kind of really, you know, from the last group we had, that if you inbuild accessibility into the creative process, which should not be as mind-blowing as it sounds, you suddenly go, oh my goodness, the possibilities there. And I know that I felt that on the last call with Adam, that was really inspiring to myself. From the very first session, I remember, Michelle, as well, you saying, don't be afraid to say things wrong. Yeah. And I think that even we had a conversation just before this call about a project that we are embedding a story about the British Sign Language GCSE that's a local story, and we've commissioned Eloise Pennicott to write this play. We had like quite a frank conversation about, well, we'll ask Michelle about this actually, and you know, an email will be pinged to you. But I think it, you know, stopping the fear of discussing things around accessibility has been like major for me. And I think it probably wasn't something that I was going to go into this program thinking about, but very quickly, it's the, if you can break down that barrier, it's so essential really in making sure you can embed the program into the work.
Yeah. And I think people talk about being in silos, and I think it's also about companies not being in silos and talking to each other and going, actually, I can just ring up the Belgrade Theatre, or I can just ring up that company and go, I'm lost, help me. And you know, from the cohort, I've got people that we exchange emails with where I'm saying, well, this is what our anti-ableist inclusion rider looks like, make a comment on it, strip it apart, you know, I'd rather it be better than, you know, than what your rider is, you know, let's make it so it's a cohesive document, it's useful. And I think we'd siloed ourselves a little bit as a company. We'd sort of gone, right, well, we're in the east of England, we're away from everybody, we're rural tourers, we don't go into any of the spaces that everybody else goes into. We go from village halls to church halls to mid-scale theatres and back down again. So we know our craft, you know, and it was getting outside of that headspace of, well, yeah, we know our craft, but we don't know our craft in the widest sense of going to everybody else and looking at their craft.
And asking rather than assuming, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, there was a conversation at one point that it would be too difficult to tour an actor in a wheelchair because that would be too difficult for the van and the systems that we have set up here. And I think it was one of the sessions we shared that, because that's something I encountered when I got here, is to sort of say, well, the actor may not need to come in the van full stop. Do you know what I mean? Like, assuming that you've got to provide these things where the actor may say, actually, I'm really capable of getting myself to the venue, you know, thanks for thinking. But it's a negative for me, because if you say, oh, we can't tour someone because of the van, well,
what's the point?
But there must be another way around that as well. Like, can the actor get themselves there? Can you then facilitate the budget to allow that for them? Like, there is always a solution, not a problem. That's probably been the enriching factor.
Yeah, and I think a lot of our conversations, when we've come to a crossroads about something, we've gone, but why? why are we thinking like that? What's the reason? Has it been ingrained in us to think that way? And actually, we're just going through the wrong thought process here. Mm-hmm. We need to come in via a different door and look at it differently.
And is that new to you, Jess? Is that new to you as a company? Do you think that question, why are we even thinking like this?
Yeah. And I think that's because we've been going for so long. We've had the same staff members for such a long time, and we're in our second generation now. So it's the second generation of East Angles. It's the and as a consequence, we're reviewing the systems and going, well, you know, yeah, that system totally worked, and it still does work a bit, but we can add bolt-ons to that. It can be changed. It's not, you're not gonna break the law or hurt anybody. Or if you want to say, actually, it's a great plan to send the tech team out before you send the cast out on a tour, rather than putting them all in one van together and wearing them all out.
We could see it in some of the venues, even though, that we looked at, because actually some of the rural village halls are really equipped and have great accessibility. And actually, therefore, what maybe is missing is accessibility integrated into the work. Do you know what I mean? You're taking work into a space that's completely user-friendly.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, and I'm a big believer in that sort of, it's really difficult, isn't it, that you say there's one night in the run you can come to a sign language performance, there's one night in the run you can come to an audio described performance. How can we become better at that?
And a consequence of that conversation was last year for our Christmas Carol Christmas show, we found that a lot of children that were coming, because there was a big puppet in it, a lot of children who were neurodiverse were sort of very scared about entering the space. It was very dark. There was a mean dog hound puppet. And we took a couple of them in, we gave them a touch tour, and we showed them different aspects of the set, what doors opened, what noises were made. And then we kind of came back into the office and went, why aren't we just asking the duty managers to do this every time if somebody asks?
Mm.
Why is it on a, you know?
It happened by chance, because we were running front of house because we were a bit short-staffed.
Yeah.
And I remember we saw the girl come in and she had her ear defenders on, and she was with her mum, and she was already looking slightly nervous and slightly fleetish as well. And I said, would you like to go in and have a look round? Would that be of use? And the mum said, oh my goodness, absolutely. That would be amazing. So we took them round, they met the actors, really impromptu, but said, you know, we've got an audience member here that would like this. And then at the end of the show, mum came out and then actually said, oh, I lip read, I'm deaf. And my daughter's never, ever sat through anything. And so this is huge for us, because she has sat through that entire show. I wasn't worried, she wasn't worried. And that's where it went from instinct to practice. So now all the front of house managers understand that. There's a little bit on the website that says, if you would like one of these, let us know.
Yeah.
And
they don't have to book it. They just turn up on the day, find an usher or a duty manager, and they can go straight into the auditorium pre-show.
I love that so much. And I love it mostly because you're actually so deeply normalizing that. There's no labeling going on. There's no complexity. That's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And it's just such a simple thing to do. I mean, we now do it as a standard thing for school shows. So for Treasure Island this year, we've introduced each school show. We've come and walked onto the stage and explained to them what haze is. It's not going to make you cough.
Mm.
There are going to be bangs, going to be different types of bangs. One's going to be like bang on wood that will sound like this, and one will sound like this. And immediately you can see the teachers all going, oh, okay, calm down. Like they instantly relax, and not a single child has left yet.
Mm. You know, brilliant.
I like that though about Michelle, about normalizing it, because I think that's the way that it makes sense to me. I think that's the way that I can put it into practice. And everything we do here is we try to remove any sense of the other. We've got such a diverse community that wrap around us, and I think it's all about interrelatedness and understanding that this is a safe space and a community space. And we launched three new principles last year, which was grow, nourish and wonder. And they're the kind of things that lead us through all of our programs and everything we choose to produce. You know, this is a place where you can grow a creative inspiration. It can be nourished. And together, if we lead to wonder, we can imagine something different. We can imagine a world that we can see change in act change. So I think that that's been really timely to launch those values in a year in which you're on the program as well. And, you know, see how they work so well together.
I'm wondering, it sounds like this has been very, continuous with who you are as an organisation anyway. This doesn't feel like anything that's interrupting anything. It's just making you think more deeply about who you are and the way you want to be doing things. That's me kind of putting words in your mouth, but that's the impression that I'm getting. Mm. But I still wonder whether there have been any tough conversations you've had to have at all.
Yeah, well, there's been the tough conversations have been with people going, so why are we doing that? And so, because we are. That's who we are. I think there's been tough conversations in creative rooms, picking and talking to creatives, like the one we just had earlier about our deaf play and the BSL play and how we were going to fill that room and articulate that room. There've been tough conversations with staff members where we've sort of said, you know, it has to happen. That's it. It will happen. Do it, please.
And why do you think they're questioning it, Jess? Why are they questioning it?
They've never encountered it before. I think it was pure, oh, okay.
And sometimes I think there are, you know, people are worried about blame or sometimes admitting to their vulnerabilities around perhaps sometimes their skill set and knowledge. So we have a hearing loop. It is incredibly problematic and often difficult. I myself am not experienced and can solve that problem, but I am saying, please let me know what you need to solve this problem. And if it's a financial thing, which lots of people worry about in small organizations, we'll have to pay that. We'll have to outlay it, because actually what I don't want is a repeat where we had an audience member last Christmas who said, this isn't working. The hearing loop isn't working. And, you know, you care about everyone's experience in the theatre. And then it was kind of like, I got the sense we don't know how to fix it. But rather than just owning up to that, it becomes a, oh, well, why do we need it fixed? Oh, you know, and actually, it's just easier to say
it's happening.
Yeah. And if you don't know how to do it, brilliant. We can bring someone in that does know how to do it.
And I think Ramps has empowered us to say that, you know, and not, I think prior to that, we may have sort of, okay, we'll sort that out. That's fine. We'll sort it. And it's one of those, it will sort it and it drops down the list on the piece of paper. But now I feel like we've got a fire in our bellies about it and we're going, no, it has to change. Sorry.
And learning, we learn and the staff do as well. We had a brilliant play here last year with a visually impaired theatre company. And, you know, there was just lots of learning. There was lots of dogs that came with that booking in group. And, you know, people saying, oh, there's golden retriever hair everywhere. Or, you know, and it's just those things where you learn and you say, great, but we can just hoover it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you know. It literally is just hoover it up. But I think it is how it impacts everyone's lives that a lot of the time, you know, we'd then say to people, you can't leave things in corridors. You can't just leave things out backstage. You know, you need to keep things in a nice, neat working order, which aren't out of the ordinary. They should just be the normality.
And you tell me a theatre that doesn't have a messy backstage or a storeroom of doom. But it's in the same ways that we made the values, it's almost creating a new set of rules for how we operate as well. I'm going, these are the new rules, guys.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
And we listened to those participants and accommodated. And I think we were really honest in saying there probably will be snagging points because the company hasn't embarked on this venture for a long time. So let us know those things. And that came back. It was really lovely because we had a big launch, City of Culture, Ipswich are going to bid for City of Culture in the next round. And there was an actor from that player, the visually impaired player, that was there and speaking about making sure that everyone was invited to the table culturally amongst it, but actually gave a shout out to say, you know, because we did a fantastic play at Eastern Angles, they worked with us, they listened to us, and we were able to have a really successful run. And that is the case as well, that people, it was full, it was packed. And it was great. As you know, yeah, it's one of those things as well, that it was such a fantastic play about a local radio station based on Radio Orwell. So I think that's been, again, how, you know, there are going to be ways in which you go, it's probably not the right word, but there's going to be problems. How do we find the solutions? There's going to be problems at our lane on the journey at the minute, but how can we find solutions to them?
Yeah. Do you assume? Yeah. It's the lens at which you view those problems. If you're viewing them through the lens that makes them a problem, or are you viewing them through the lens that they are an opportunity to change? And I think we heavily leaned on the problems, and now we're heavily leaning on the opportunity that, oh, wow, we can pivot here. Mm. We can change. We can adjust. We are small enough to make those really quick decisions. We're not having to run up three layers of management and three layers of management back down. We can just do it. And we can give the staff agency to make those decisions.
So talking of just doing it and opportunities, where do you want to go next? What's your ambition for the next 6 months? What do you want to be saying to us come June of next year?
Perhaps not necessarily finished, but I would like EA to develop a anti-ableist rural touring rider that can be shared among rural touring companies. I would like EA to have, by that point, finished our Voice of My Own tour with a integrated BSL and caption show that we've never done before. So a show that goes out to village halls and it has captions and integrated BSL within it for a whole rural tour. I think that's quite a feat for us, having only really ever done BSL performances at, say, mid-scale venues, or not had it in like a village hall setting. And similarly, we've never really taken captions out on tour. So to have that integrated into the set, I think would be a huge moment for EA to sort of did. Yeah, and we can do it. And that's a set standard that we spring off from. Yeah.
I mean, I echo that a lot, really, is that obviously one of the big things is we've got to play A Voice of My Own by Eloise Pennicott. And I think going into that really openly and working with the creatives along that to say, please, like, let us know. Like, that's the best way I can say, like, we are going into this so wholeheartedly and open, and there may be things we get wrong and we really don't want to do that. But also, the sooner you tell us, we also won't, we won't be precious about that. We'll fix things. And I think that largely plays into that it's into the program as well, like, moving forward. Because I think that when it's wrapped into the program as well, it feels for me that it translates to staff easier, you know, that actually it's at the heart and core of what we do. So making sure that we always have part of it integrated into the show. And I think that moving forward, I know that after the session we had on audio description, so a lot of our forthcoming program, I was like, wow, that would be so good. That would be so enhancing. You know, that would be so interesting. So that's definitely... that is definitely on the cards. And for me, the building theatre and the audience experience in our small studio theatre, we can get to a point where, like I was saying, I myself can't fix the hearing loop, but how could we create something that was really easy and actually it's just on?
Yeah.
It's just on all the time. These things are just there ready to set up, and everyone can be trained in them in a really easy way.
And so a refurbishment of, so our big step, I think, is refurbishing our theatre space.
Yeah.
And putting, you know, I say this a lot about when people build new spaces, they think about the environmental aspect of it. Like, you know, they, you know, how's it going to connect to the solar panels? Is it going to be this type of material over this type of material? But they very rarely do we talk about the, you know, the access into the space. Like, if we wanted to hire a technician who applied and they were a wheelchair user, we need to have a rig that can drop to the floor. Can we get that in our building? Because at the moment, it's a very old rig.
Yeah.
So it's like having that conversation of how do we future-proof and open up the building to as many people as possible so we can get as much work and as much interest in the building simply by opening or unlocking all of these doors that we've lost all the keys to. And we're slowly finding all the keys and unlocking them, going, look, that one's open. So,
and they're quite, I feel like in some ways they're probably quite bigger than 6 month time. Yeah. And, you know, they to some might appear pie in the sky or slightly really ambitious, but I would say that they're really helping us, I think, motor through and monitor the journey. Because to go with there's that much, then we'll definitely, even if, you know, we're definitely going to fall short, but we'll be further along in that 6 month window than.
Yeah, I think we scare people and are bored when we say stuff like, this is what we're going to do. And they go, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think there's a, we say a lot, don't we? The perfect is the enemy of the good. But yeah. Actually, I think there's a flip side to that, which is if you reach for the stars, you might manage to meet the sky. So let's do that.
Don't avoid doing something because you think you're going to fail at it. Try and do it anyway.
And also, like, it not being kind of the end of a journey at the end of the program, like, already we were saying we need, you know, we need to do it again with different members of staff, you know, and we're at a point where we'll be recruiting new roles in the new year to join the organization. And it feels like it'd be interesting for them to get their experience through it. But maybe what might be quite exciting for them is there'll be further foundations in the company. You know, when we set off, it was driven passionately by our own interests. And I think that actually there'll be a bedrock for other people to come and grow upon.
Yeah.
Sana, anything else you want to ask? I think it's been great.
Now I'm just bowled over by the pair of you. You're amazing.
Yeah, you are. You are amazing.
Lovely.
Brill, thanks both.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good Christmas.
But you know where we are.
Thank you.
Always.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.